Now, we've got some questions from Tony Garvey, and he asks these two. There's two here for Ron. What are some of the different plant species that Ron is introducing to his pastures? Well, you can answer that, Ron.
Yeah, I think, well, Bev, you'd be pretty good at that one anyway.
I was just looking. We actually finished. We missed the last question of Tony's.
Of Alan's.
Of Alan's,
yeah. Which areas of biodynamics as tools do you use over the property to get minerals functioning and to reduce compaction?
The horn clay.
Yeah, that's the main
thing. I deliberately didn't ask that question, but I didn't ask that question, but you can, because I thought, well, let's stick to you know, the remedies like homeopathic or that sort of thing. But anyway, now that you have mentioned it, Ron, give it a, you know, fly into it.
Okay, well, you could do that, Beth.
You keep going.
Yeah, well, with the biodynamics you're talking about.
It is a homeopathic of
it
a
is.
Sort.
It's exactly the same. It works on exactly the same type of thing as the homeopathics do. And we found with our farm it was very compacted and very shallow topsoil, and with using the biodynamics with the summer and winter horn clays in there, it's certainly opened up those subsoils and got the minerals working properly in the plants.
And allowed the root systems to go down further.
Mm. And, do you want to mention, Bev, about the different mix, the different types of plants that we've been putting out?
We've put the rooted plants in to break the subsoil up. And chicories, and those plantains here, mainly the chicory, I suppose, and the red clovers are doing very well and all getting very deep root systems now. That also helps if you allow the grass to grow out longer to get the root systems down to help with the compaction.
And we've also got some comfrey and borage and those sort of things along the laneways that the cows can graze on as they're walking up the up to the paddock. And what's the little fluffy little plant that has the white flower that's like a wild carrot? What's that one, Beth? That we put a little
yarrow.
Bit, yarrow. Use a little bit of yarrow here and there as well. Yeah.
The next question is, how does Ron introduce new species to his pastures without having to destroy the existing sward?
Well, the red clover is a good one. That we have red clover in all just about all our over all our farm now, and what we do is the paddocks that have got it in it, we've let them go to seed, and then we'll graze them. The cows will graze them, and then move the stock around the farm, and everywhere where they nest, the seed goes through the animal and grows in the manure pats, and just spreads out from there. There's lots of different ways that you can do it like that. The chicory, when you let it go to seed, there's little birds, there's thousands of little bullfinches around the farm that collect the seeds off the plant itself and move them around the farm. And, we have direct drilled seeds in, and we've also, because this farm got so very wet during the winter time, it would pug pretty badly. And during the spring, we would come in with a contractor in with a Rotera that does the stirring, and we'd get him to just set it at about 20 mil deep. And what it would do is it takes the tops off the pugs and the lumps off and puts it into the little holes, and always puts some of those herbs and different types of seeds. He actually drops them into the machine while he's working it. And and then we just roll it and let it get a really good growth. Let it get well into growth stage before we actually graze it.
You don't do big areas.
No.
How big an area?
Probably 10 acres a year when it was really bad. And but we also coat our own seeds as well with a mixture that. So those seeds, instead of being thrown into a fairly hostile environment with a lot of other native pastures and grasses growing, they have a food source around them, so it gives them the opportunity to really take root and be good competition for the others.
Now, got a question for Jean. It's still from Tony Garvey. It's, will homeopathic formulas protect young calves up to 4 weeks old from E. coli? I think there must be, and bacteria scours in calves on beef cows.
Yeah. E. coli or bacterial scours. Yes, part of the ingredients in this formula is E. coli, Salmonella, Staph aureus, and Streptococcus. So they're all addressed in NoSode formulas, in NoSode form, and plus a whole lot of other ingredients. So the bottom line is, yes, E. coli and the bacterial scours, they're all addressed in that. And you can put the drops in the trough for the mothers to have, and the calves will get the value of it through the milk supply. And it doesn't take long before the calves are starting to drink out of the trough themselves anyway. So just keep the trough dosed about once a week while they're little.
Now, I've got another question for you, Jean, which is from Donna McQueen. And she's... Hold on. She wants to know if she can get a full catalogue of what you've got, well, a full catalogue from you. And it's the most interest to her is the Pink Eye formula and the Calving Ease one. And then the question is, if you had cattle in a paddock that had a dam, could you put the drops and mix well? Start again. If you had cattle in a paddock that had a dam, could you put the drops in the mix and we make up a salt dolomite molasses mix in troughs? In other words, you're saying two things, the dam and the sort of a solid thing. We pretty well covered that, but you'd like to repeat that again, Jean?
Yeah. I think it's because she's got a dam, she would rather put the drops into something else, and they make up a mix of salt dolomite and molasses. And she was wanting to know if the formula can go into that mix. And I think it's an absolutely brilliant idea to do that, yes, definitely.
So we covered the dam with in the previous part of the conversation with Ron saying the waves and the wind could mix
could
the water and the water.
The dam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Look, what I think now is that we'll open the lines and see if what we've got on the line and whether there's any other questions to be asked. So I'll just unmute the line and see how it goes. Is that okay with you people?
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
So we've got the line unmuted. Is there anyone there who's like to ask a question to any of the three people who are here? Well, I'll leave the line unmuted. We do know there are people that do listen, but they prefer not to be known. So we'll just keep going. Jean, is there anything else, any sort of stories that you'd like to bring up as to what has happened with your treatments?
Just trying to think of something that's not on the DVD.
It might be on the DVD, but just something that you'd think is...
I was thinking of the milk fever cow who was down and they were putting the calcium and magnesium into the vein, and the wife went and got the homeopathic of the same thing, not made from the same thing, but... made from calcium and magnesium homeopathic, and gave it to the cow in the mouth, and she responded so much more quickly with the homeopathic, and it made the other stuff be more effective and work faster, and the cow actually got up before she got the full dose in the vein. So therefore the physical is helped by the homeopathic when you're giving nutrients. which can help with a lot of minerals as well.
Jean, one interesting thing was that we did cover in the past, but it came up again just the other day for me, that one of your clients who you've been working with for quite some time, he had a problem on his farm, and yet he didn't sort of think in terms of getting in touch with you to rectify the next problem. Is that what you've got to say about that, Jean?
Yeah, well, some farmers, they will always have mastitis formula on hand, never be without it, always order it in before the cows calve, ready for the next season. But the calves are scouring and they trot off to the vet for something for the calves. They forget that there are other formulas for every other problem as well that they can try and use as prevention as much as possible. With a calf scours, it's pretty sure that somebody's going to get the scours. So if it goes in their milk drink once a week, or for the first 3 days of after they're born, when you start rearing them, and then weekly after that, generally you can get through without anybody getting the scours. But yes, we have mastitis farmers and we have scours farmers, and neither of them think that they can also use another formula for another thing, another problem.
So, Jean, how would that go, like with farmers that rear their calves in the same area year after year, and they get the same scour problems there year after year? And if they started treating the calves with the homeopathics like that, would they be able to actually spray the area as well, like the area that those calves, like if it's in a building of some sort, in a shed or in a yard?
Yeah.
How would they go if they used a spray outfit and just mist it over the area every day or a couple of days as well?
Yeah,
would that do any good?
There's a homeopathic in that. Actually, it's food for thought. I'd be going one step further and having a nasode made from the dung from the previous season, especially if somebody is scouring, and spray that over it.
Yeah.
And that would be a really good exercise, good idea.
Yeah.
It's one more string to the bow.
Well, it's just, some people do contract rear calves and that sort of thing, and they do end up getting problems in the areas, and maybe that's something that they could look at.
That's definitely sure, yes. Yeah.
Mm.